In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. In the epistle that is set to be read tomorrow, the Apostle Paul says, "The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." That's how he begins this portion of the passage that we read, but it's not the beginning of his thought. The beginning of his thought precedes this sentence in Ephesians 5, where he speaks about some things that we are commanded not to do. A long list of things. An important list of things. First of all, he says positively, "Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, walk in love, as Christ hath also loved us, and gave himself as an offering." Then he says, "But fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor filthy talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." And he goes on and says some other things that are forbidden, things that are not popular to forbid anymore in our culture, because our culture is all about accepting everything except someone who does not accept everything. It's the only thing that's not accepted in our culture. But we have to understand what the fruit of the Spirit is. Why do we strive for it? Because the Spirit abides in us for a reason. The Spirit abides in us so that we would be full of righteousness and truth. Because we cannot know God who is full of righteousness and truth, if you can say such a thing about God being full of something when he actually is righteousness and truth. We can't know him unless we are ourselves full of righteousness and truth. This is the goal of your life. This is what you should be doing every day, every minute, every moment. This is your agenda when you get up tomorrow morning. And not because it's Sunday, but because you're a Christian and because you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And these things that St. Paul proscribes, whoremongering and uncleanness and filthiness and all kinds of other sins that are so popular in our day, and not just popular, but they are promoted in our day. People at least had the decency in the past to realize they were sins and be quiet about it. Now, of course, they are promoted. And Christians have the problem that they don't see such things as so sinful anymore. But we must, if we know what our goal in life is, to have the fruit of the Spirit in goodness and righteousness and truth, we would know that all those things are incompatible with that. That's why there are commandments. Not because they're arbitrarily imposed laws, but because the commandments reflect the nature of God. If it's a positive commandment, it is who God is and what he does, reflecting his nature. If it's a negative commandment, it is reflecting something that he would never do. And we must become like him. This is important to know. This is important to live for every moment and every day. And we forget it. It gets us in trouble. I don't mean trouble like we have sins that we would be judged for. It just messes up our life if we do not have the goal of being filled with the Spirit and all goodness and righteousness and truth. St. Paul goes on to say, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Basically, the opposite of this sentence describes most people that walk around calling themselves Christians nowadays. And even Orthodox Christians don't have a well-developed sense of morality. You must have a keen sense of what is right and what is wrong. The Scripture tells you it. God tells it to your heart. You must listen. There's a reason why he tells us to do some things and not to do other things. Because there is a way to lead that leads to life, and there's a way that leads to death. And we want life. Now when he says, don't have any fellowship with these things, what does that mean? Well, of course, fellowship is friendship. Fellowship is familiarity. Fellowship is being around something. So are we around these things? Our society has all kinds of uncleanness in it, everywhere. How much do we partake of it? You must cut yourself off from uncleanness as best as you can. Now, there are practical things that you can do when you must avoid, and they're not necessarily avoided by Orthodox Christians by any means. Unclean television shows, pornography, coarse jesting, those things are all over our society. You must guard yourself from them. If you have problems with that stuff, you should come to confession for help. It's something that's going to be hard to get rid of, so you better start now. Because it doesn't go away right away just because you say you don't want to partake in unclean things anymore. Now, here's the part of the epistle that really amazes me and that I really love. And I really wanted to talk mostly about this. I wanted to first do a little exegesis because it's important for us to do what is right. Christianity is about doing good. Let's not listen to the slanderers. It is about doing good. It is about our works reflecting who we are. And St. Paul is good for that. He's got that all over his epistles. But then he says something that is just remarkable and very deep. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now, you can understand this in several ways. One is, of course, the light makes sin be known. God will make all of our sins known. There's other Bible passages that make that very, very clear. But also, he says, whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Well, God makes things manifest. But what about us? What about if you take makes manifest as makes understood, right? That means that we should be light so that we see things, so that things are made manifest to us. And I submit to you, this is absolutely true now. If you're confused, if you're depressed, you're feeling despondent, hopeless, unfocused, those things are because you do not have the light, at least in some degree, not 100% having the light abiding within you. Because those who have the light, those things are made manifest to them. They have no confusion about their life. They have no days that they just don't know what to do with themselves. They have no depression and despondency. Not in the spiritual sense. Now, sometimes depression is just a human emotion, and you have to deal with that. And if you have that personality type that tends to take things hard, okay. But I'm talking about when people have a sense of hopelessness about their life, a sense of confusion, a sense of dissatisfaction, unhappiness. Those things are because you're not seeing things according to the light. And the light should be within you. You shouldn't need to carry a light externally. The light should be within you. The Holy Spirit should abide within you. So when I hear the Apostle Paul say this, I'm really cut to the core, because I know that in my life I have moments of confusion and depression and not feeling quite right, feeling out of sorts. I know that you guys have this too. The reason I know that, even if I don't know all of you absolutely personally, is because you're all human beings. And it's a very rare person that doesn't have these things happen. And when they happen, they're not because of your environment. They're not because your job is terrible. They're not because somebody's mistreating you. They're because you don't have all of the light within you. Now, we can go through bad times. We can have things happen to us that are very onerous and very difficult, of course. And nobody in their right mind enjoys being mistreated or enjoys being hungry or enjoys having a very stressful job or whatever things you go through. But the way that we react to these things, it's what determines that is how much light is within you. We live in a society that's completely confused about the meaning of life and the purpose of life. They don't know anything. They don't even know what love means. If you look at the way the society defines love, they have no clue. If you look at the way society talks about Christmas, it has no clue. about meaning, meaningfulness in life. They have no clue. Only the church knows. But people that are not really struggling in their life or have passions that are sort of making them kind of confused, they're going to have these influences of the world affect them. And that probably applies to every single one of us. So understand that when you're confused, when you're depressed, when you're feeling hopeless, when you feel out of sorts, when you feel dissatisfied, when you have that burn within you about just things are not right and you don't like the way they are and you wish things would change and all that other kind of stuff, all that is coming from you not having the light within you. That doesn't happen to a holy person. Holy people go through difficulties and sadness and all the other gamut of human emotions, but not with that additional burden that people like us have because of our misunderstandings and our not seeing things. They're not being made manifest because we don't have the light within us. So actually, I take what the apostle says as a promise. He says, "For whatsoever doth make manifest